from the book of Joshua, chapter 3, starting with the verse number 10 to the end of this chapter. Joshua 3:10. And Joshua said, "Hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now therefore, take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water. For Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon an heap very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zarethan. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on the dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan." This far I desire that we read in our first reading this morning from the Word of God. And now, before our Heavenly Father, let us bend our knees, and in our heart let us worship the Lord. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this moment of prayer, this hour of meditation and praise, the time, O Heavenly Father, that Thou hast given us to get together around Thy holy word, as around Thy table, Thy small children, Thy family in Christ. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this blessed word of Thine, and we also pray, O Lord, that Thou grant us an open heart and mind, that our soul, O Heavenly Father, may behold the beauty of Thy holy word, the beauty of Thy holiness, that our eyes of faith may see how wonderful is Thy work, O Lord, that Thou hast prepared, even in the presence of our enemies, that Thou art leading Thy small flock upon the green pastures and beside still waters, that Thou art taking care, O Heavenly Father, of our every need. Gracious Lord, we pray that today Thou grant us zeal and fervency for prayer and praise of Thy holy name. Thou, O Lord, teach us that awareness of Thy great goodness and mercy. Thou keep us, O Heavenly Father, from the blindness that has been in the world that is darkened by sin, that we would not be ignorant of Thy great goodness and mercy, that our heart may feel Thy love and our soul may be calm in the arms of thy safekeeping, O Lord. Gracious Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, we pray that thou keep us today from false godliness, hypocrisy, from that human artificial religion, making something from nothing and pretending, O Lord God, that they have thy presence. We pray, O Heavenly Father, that thou be in our midst, that thou guide us and protect us, that thou, O Lord, by thy Spirit lead us and by thy word teach us, that thou make us aware of thy will and zealous for thy name's honor and glory, O Lord. Great is thy love and thy faithfulness, O Heavenly Father. From the days of old thou hast been leading thy children, and those that trusted in thee were not confounded, even though often they had to suffer persecution and even martyr's death. Gracious Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, thou grant us those eyes of faith to see that in self-denial, walking in the steps of our Savior, we obtain the greatest riches that ever anyone received on this side of the grave. Holy Father, thou grant us meekness and modesty. Thou keep us from vanity and pride. Thou keep us, O Lord God Almighty, from lust of the flesh and lust of eyes. Thou deliver us from every oppression of the enemy who would like us to be excited about the worldly pleasures and to make us enticed, to entice us and to attract our attention to the sinful pleasures, O Lord. Thou make us, by the power of thy holy word, by the power of thy gentle and loving Holy Spirit, thou make us dead to sin and evil. And thou, O Heavenly Father, renew in us that inner man, the spiritual life in Christ. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we do acknowledge before thee that we do have many weaknesses, shortcomings, and mistakes. We pray, Lord God, that thou remove from our heart every disobedience, every rebellion, and thou make us thy faithful, beloved, obedient, loving and lovable children, children of thy covenant in Christ. Gracious Lord, our Heavenly Father, purify our whole being and make us, O Lord God, again new creatures in Christ, that indeed thy kingdom may be in our hearts and thy Holy Spirit to dwell within and to rule our lives. Gracious Lord, as thou art loving and merciful and gracious and patient and always ready to help, O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, thou also grant to us that likeness of the Savior, that, O Lord God Almighty, we may, according to the needs, gently rebuke. That we may, O Heavenly Father, patiently bear with one another, and that bearing the burdens of one another, we may fulfill that wonderful law of Christian love. Holy Father, thou art God and there is none other. Thou grant us a loving and forgiving heart. Thou grant us a loving and understanding mind. Give us a soul that is also loving, patient, peaceful, and peacemaking. gracious Lord, Almighty God, Thou remove all obstacles, all barriers from our faith, that in our faith we may follow in the steps of the Savior, even though the way of life may be narrow and steep and thorny at times. Gracious Lord, may our feet be in that footwear of the gospel of peace. As we walk after our Redeemer, that we may not turn left nor right. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, Thou hast given us that instruction, O Father, in the teaching of Thy Holy Son, that we should love one another. O Lord, have Thou mercy on us. Fill our hearts with that love. Gracious Lord, may Thy love be the power that is leading us forward. Keep us, Thou, from all evil. Lead us and teach us, O Father. Never leave us nor forsake us. And in Thy great goodness and mercy, O Lord, these wonderful gifts of faith, love, and blessed hope, Thou grant to all Thy children, and especially to those that are suffering persecution and oppression. Thou deliver the oppressed, and in every distress, O Lord, Thou grant encouragement. Thou give strength. Thou, O Heavenly Father, help every child of Thine and every friend of Thine and every heart that is struggling to separate from sin and the world. Thou, Lord God Almighty, extend Thy helping hand, and Thou also make us faithful witnesses of Thine, that we can share Thy love, Thy goodness and grace, that we can, O Heavenly Father, have that fellowship, Christian fellowship, of love and peace in Christ our Lord. Lord God Almighty, give strong faith, faith that overcomes all the obstacles, faith that is a spiritual shield of every soul. Glorious and loving Lord, be Thou our King of kings and Lord of lords, and teach us to worship Thee in love, in hope, waiting and expecting that soon Thou wilt come in glory. And now, Lord God, our Heavenly Father, reveal Thy holy word to us, and grant that this blessed word of Thine be our daily food and our drink, as the fountain of living water in this wilderness of this world. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, lead us Thou and teach us Thou. And as Thou art leading and teaching us, Thou grant us that spiritual strength and power, wisdom and simplicity, that we do Thy will with joy and gladness. And in difficulties, Lord, teach us to trust in Thee, and to draw always new strength from this word of Thine, this Holy Scripture, and to be wholly given to the guidance of Thy Spirit. Thou help us in our prayers, in our praises. Be Thou in our midst, O Lord, and grant that we always be in Thy grace, filled with Thy Spirit, that the name of Christ be honored and exalted among us, and Thy holy name to be worshipped and praised forever. Amen. In our second reading, beloved, let us read from the book of Joshua, chapter 4, from the beginning of this chapter 10 verses with the help of our Heavenly Father and in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Joshua 4. And it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priests' feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in the time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. For the priests which bear the ark stood in the midst of Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people according to all that Moses commanded Joshua, and the people hasted and passed over. This far I desire that we read in our second reading this morning with the help of the Lord. I believe, beloved, that as we read and study the life of those that served the Lord, and especially those that led the children of Israel according to the word of God and by His commandments, that we can learn what is that good and godly conduct, and also we can learn what we should beware from, what we should keep ourselves from doing in order to preserve our testimony and our spiritual walk, life in godliness. We may think for a moment, beloved, that none of us is appointed by the Lord to be a great leader over the thousands of people like the children of Israel, where none of us is like Moses, Joshua, or any other of the great men of the old times. And yet, let us think about our assignments and task and duty that we have in the faith, that even though if one of us would be walking all alone, as our Lord and Savior was alone in the wilderness after the baptism in the River Jordan, if some of us were refugees like David, fleeing from the persecution of the sinful king, wicked king Saul, the son of Kish, if some of us were prisoners like Joseph, or pilgrims like Jacob, all of those events were an important historical link in the history, in the testimony of those that were faithful. God has given to every one of us something to work with and something to rule over. God has not left any one of His people without some talents, some gifts, and some duty, some labor. And almost without exception, we all have received much more than we can use. So it's not a light or a small thing to be just a Christian nowadays. It's a great thing. It's a glorious thing. It's a wonderful gift of God to those that believed on His Son. He gave the power to be the sons of God, to live that holy and godly life. And when we do so, beloved, when we realize that our calling is very high, that serving the Lord is a wonderful thing, and that the reward of those that serve Him is great and glorious in that glorious kingdom of God, but also it's great and glorious here, even in humility, even in rejection, even in struggles, in daily striving to serve the Lord, you know, we are walking with Christ, and there is no greater company, there is no more wonderful fellowship but to be with the Lord and to walk in the light of His Word. So let us take a look into the life and conduct, the manners of Joshua, the disciple, the servant of Moses, the man of God, and Joshua himself is a man of God. Joshua rose early in the morning. You see, Joshua was a leader. So he would get up early in the morning and he would lead and, in a way, supervise everything that should be done in the camp of the people of Israel. Hundreds, thousands, multitudes of people were there in a small place in the wilderness. That was the camp of Israel. And they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, Joshua and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. Why they did not pass over right away? At that time, Jordan was a huge flood and a lot of mud all around, and there were many traps. The place was to be examined very carefully to find the place where they can cross over. They might fall into deep mud. They might fall into quicksand. Just about any danger could be threatening them as they attempt to cross the River Jordan. The River Jordan looked at that time like a small sea or a large lake. Well, they needed something else besides precaution, carefulness, patience, endurance. They needed direction and instruction from the Lord. You see, today we read this Word of God, we meditate upon the Word of God, but we also pray that the Lord will give us understanding, His guidance and instruction. They needed God's guidance and instruction, so they waited there. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Now, the ark of the covenant of God did not just quickly jump up and move on its own. This is in the beginning of the chapter 3. The Ark of the Covenant of God had to be prepared for traveling. They had to remove the tents and the coverings, and the priests had to change their garments. They had a set of garments that they used serving in the holy place, and another set of garments that they used for walking from place to place and bearing the Ark of the Covenant on their shoulders. So the officers, the captains, the commanders sent by Joshua are walking through the people and telling them what they are supposed to do. They are giving them instruction. They commanded the people, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. So that would mean when they saw that the priests are preparing the Ark of the Covenant for the next move, they also started disassembling their tents, packing up their things. And there was quite a live activity in the camp. Everyone was getting ready. The elderly and the children, men and women. And they were preparing also their cattle and just all the things that they had. When they traveled, they didn't travel light. They had quite a load to carry on. So the officer said, "Ye shall remove from your place and follow the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto the Ark, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. For ye have not passed this way heretofore." Now, what does that mean? Why would they have to keep a good distance? 2,000 cubits, I don't know exactly how what distance that was, but that was a distance sufficient that the multitudes of the children of Israel that were there could walk in order and still see the Ark of the Covenant. They were not to surround the Ark of the Covenant just like a group without any order. There had to be order and discipline. There had to be known, and it was very necessary that the people know who is giving orders there and who is supposed to follow and obey those orders. Those that were giving orders were to be also obedient to the chief ruler, the leader, which in this case was Joshua, but Joshua himself to be obedient to the Lord God and to God's instruction and guidance. So he says, "Ye have not passed this way heretofore." What do you see here? That distance between the children of Israel and the Ark of the Covenant. You see, this Ark of the Covenant was an Ark of the Testimony. The commandments of God were in the Ark of the Covenant on the stone plate. And there was that dish with manna that they used as their daily food so many years in the wilderness. And in our days, the commandments of the Lord are written in this book of the Holy Scripture. And this is our, in a way, Ark of the Testimony. And this is the testimony of God that is going ahead of us and leading us, especially on the path where we did not go ever before. Especially the things that are unknown and new to us, in which we are inexperienced. The Word of God is our guide. We should not keep the word of God as something that is standing in a temple, and it's there, and we know there, and it's something to be honored, and it's very, in a way, secret and mystical, but never used. The Ark of the Covenant was carried on before the children of Israel to show the way. And so is the Word of God, lived by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and followed by the Holy Apostles. And this record to us is a guidance, an instruction. We should not keep that word so close to us as if it were part of ourselves. We should not keep it as something that we have written ourselves. We should follow the word of God with some distance of respect and honor. Not as a book that we just grab any time and throw away any time. Not as a book that we will talk about without respect or use carelessly. If we put the word of God on our own level, you see, or even more to say, if we use the word of God disrespectfully, we will not see the way which we should be going on. We should observe the word of God very carefully. Same way, or similar to that, we should treat one another. And that should be known among the people of God, the difference between young and old, men and women. And yet we all together should be, as the children of the Heavenly Father, as brethren, as brothers and sisters, as friends, but not without respect. Not treating one another as part of our personal inventory, something that we can dispose of anytime we want to. That respect and that responsibility for one another, I believe, was expressed in the teaching of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when he said, "This I command unto you, that ye love one another. By that shall all know that ye are my disciples." So Joshua said to the people, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass over before the people." And they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, "This day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee." You see, the Lord says to Joshua, "This day I begin to magnify, to make Joshua look great in the sight of Israel, but not for the sake of Joshua, but that they through Joshua may see, or in Joshua's example, that the children of Israel may see that God is with them, as God was in the days of Moses with his people, with the children of Israel, so he is going to be in the days of Joshua." That's another important lesson, beloved, for us. It is good for us to read the Acts of the Apostles and to see how wonderfully they serve the Lord. But there is a purpose for that, that we may also know how to follow the Lord with that zeal and fervor as they did. So, the Lord said to Joshua, "Thou shalt command the priest that bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, When ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan, in the water, in the shallow water. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, Come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, Hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out before you all the people in the land of Canaan, all the sinful, idolatrous people, people that were corrupted and polluted, ready for destruction. Joshua did not say to the people, Hereby shall you know that the living God is magnifying me, Joshua. No. Joshua, in the sight of all the children of Israel, is only the servant of God, and yet he is the commander. God has commanded him to be so. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now therefore, prepare 12 men, one of each tribe. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. Now that must have been a very unusual thing, the least to say, to see waters standing in a heap, not flowing down. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were come into Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city Adam. And those that came down, the rest of the water from that point down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. You see, Jericho was the next city and a great kingdom that should be conquered by the children of Israel. And the people of Jericho are carefully watching and following every moment of the children of Israel. And now what do they see? That the river Jordan is divided, and the waters upstream are standing in a heap, and the waters downstream are gone, and the multitudes of Israel are crossing the riverbed of the river Jordan on the dry ground. Now, if God did not intend this to happen, the children of Israel could have been there for a long time and wait for the dry season to come. There probably was a lot of pastures for their cattle, and there was plenty of water for every need. They could have waited there for a long time. The Lord did not intend it to be so. The Lord wanted to perform a great miracle in the sight of their enemies, so that the enemies be discouraged and frightened by the mighty power of God of Israel. The Lord also did not want to leave so much time to the nations on the other side of the river Jordan to get organized, grouped together, and prepare for war. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Now, take the 12 men, and command ye them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priests' feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men, whom he had prepared of the children of Israel out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder. This tells us approximately how big the stones were. They were not carried in one hand, but upon their shoulders. According unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, not one big stone for the whole, all the nation of Israel, one stone for each tribe. That this may be a sign among you, when your children ask in time to come, saying, What is this? What mean you by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Now, if we look carefully into these words, what was supposed to be the answer to the children when they asked their fathers, what is the meaning, the significance of these stones? They didn't say that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the people of Israel, but before the covenant of the, before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. You see, the children of Israel were to be instructed, to be trained, not to have nationalistic pride, but faith in the Lord their God. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests were, which bare the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. Now we can understand, I imagine, I believe we could easily understand that the 12 stones that are picked up from the bottom of the river Jordan and placed in a heap somewhere, I think it was in Gilgal, the next place where the children of Israel camped, that these stones remain there for a memorial to remind the children of Israel in the generations to come how great and wonderful thing the Lord did in the sight of all of their enemies by dividing the waters of the river Jordan and providing a dry pass on the dry ground right across the river for the children of Israel. We could easily, I believe, and understand that that was a good sign and a memorial. But the 12 stones were picked up from dry ground and placed at the bottom of the river, and then the river came to its full strength and covered those stones. What kind of a testimony is that? So we see that there were two kinds of testimonies, two kinds of memorials, one that is visible and one that is not visible. For us, it is also important that we remember the blessings of our Lord. That we remember the time and the day when the Lord led us across some barriers, when the Lord removed some obstacles, when the Lord gave us, granted us His victory in our battle, in our strive to serve the Lord. It's very important that we have that invisible testimony in our heart. It's also important that we have that outward testimony, that when the people see us, when they see our attitude, our conduct, our manners, that they realize these are the children of Israel. These are those before whom the Lord has removed the obstacles. Now, what are the obstacles and barriers nowadays? The Lord was the one that instructed the children of Israel how to overcome the difficulties. He said, fear not. See, fear is an obstacle. You know what happened? Most of us are people that work for some company, for some employer, and often we are facing difficulties. Often we are expected to do something or to accept or support something that is contrary. One of the first things would be the concern, the fear. What shall happen? If I stand firm on the word of God and if I pursue in the right direction, I'm going to lose the job, or everyone is going to look down on me, or whatever. Now, if we have that good Christian manner, we don't fear. You see, we believe that the Lord, we shouldn't be careless. We don't want to create unnecessary problems and difficulties, and yet we do what we believe the Lord of God is, and we are ready no matter what happens. If I lose that job, that's because the Lord wants me to work somewhere else. So that's one of the things. Fear not. You see, the children of Israel could have said, well, yeah, the Lord did divide the River Jordan and we can pass, but look how many children, and look how many elderly, and look how many flocks of cattle we have. What if somehow water starts gushing on us exactly when we are in the midst of it, in the midst of the riverbed? You see, but the Lord says, trust the Lord thy God and fear not. And who of you, by worrying, now that's the second thing, worry. How shall we do it? What should happen? Look, I'm so young, and if I mess up my career now, what's going to happen before the end of my life? Or, I'm so old, and if I don't gather enough reserve for my old age, who's going to take care of me? Or we can worry any time of our life. But it's not a privilege, it's a problem. It's an unnecessary burden. We should be careful. We should save. We should redeem the time. We should be active in good things. But worry and fear do not help. Now, when the unbelievers, when the enemies, the Amorites in this land, in this wilderness, on this side of Jordan where we are, when they see that we are free, that we fear not, that we are not dismayed nor confused, it's a miracle in their sight. When they see that is so precious or so attractive or so valuable for them is nothing for us. We have that testimony. Also, we should share that testimony among ourselves. The rocks from the bed of the River Jordan, the signs and wonders that the Lord did should be for us a delight, a pleasure to talk about. If we are embarrassed among ourselves and not free to share the Word of God freely and openly among ourselves, we are just about good for nothing. If we cannot share the Word of God with one another, our testimony before the world will be probably just about worthless. So there should be the two sides. The first testimony in our heart, that we ourselves are firm that the testimony of the Lord is the testimony of the Lord. Exactly that. You see, there are some people that are very good witnesses in a group that supports them, and they are filled with the something that they call the joy of the Lord and so on. And as soon as the group is dispersed, they're hopeless and helpless. Something is wrong, obviously. They don't have the foundation in their faith. They rely and depend on the group, on the other people. Now, we should be an encouragement for one another, and we should be a joy and comfort to one another, and yet our faith should not be founded upon one another, but on the name of our Lord and Savior, upon this Word of God. So, again we read, by the end of this chapter 4, and these 12 stones which they took out of Jordan, those did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. They built them as a monument. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over. Now, see, the fathers are talking to the children, until ye were passed over. See, when the fathers passed over, the children passed over, even though they were not born yet. It was impossible that the fathers passed over and the children be born on the other side of Jordan. There is a dependency. Children do depend on their fathers. And if the fathers depend on the Lord, the children are very blessed and very fortunate. But if the fathers depend on their idols, they bring a curse upon the children too. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, and the Lord your God did, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over. Now, this is just a marvelous testimony and teaching that we find in the book of Joshua. As the Lord did to the Red Sea, so he did to the river Jordan. And we remember in the epistles of Paul how Paul is talking to the disciples that he shall not keep them ignorant that all our fathers passed through the Red Sea and were drinking from the spiritual cliff or rock and were covered by that spiritual cloud. And they all in Moses were baptized in the cloud and in the sea. But then he says that they were not obedient, and that's why they left their bones in the wilderness. You see, the bones of Joseph were carried from the land of Egypt all the way into the promised land. And yet those that were carried that package or that coffin of testimony, they left their own bones in the wilderness. They were so close to the promised land. Just the river Jordan was dividing them and perhaps part of the desert there. And they did not enter. They could not carry their own bones because of disobedience. And here we read, as the Lord your God did with the Red Sea, so he did with the river Jordan. If we have been delivered from sin through true, genuine repentance, if we have received that power of the grace of God to overcome our own self, the old way, and our pride and selfishness and fears and worries and all of that that belong to the old way of living, to that idolatrous way of living, sinful way of living, if the Lord has delivered us through that Red Sea of our past, and we are now walking on the path of life, he's going to remove all the other barriers and obstacles. There will be difficulties, there will be suffering, there will be striving and battle, and yet, if that first victory is sealed by the Spirit of God, if we live in the new life, we are going to live and shall not die. You see, the early signs
of our Lord Jesus Christ being so victorious on the cross. Those signs are revealed in the wilderness, in the temptation. When we overcome the enemy in our heart, the enemy will remain defeated for the rest of our life. Just let us not turn back. Keep going on forward. May the Lord give us faith, love, and hope that our hearts also be as the Ark of the Covenant, where the commandments of the Lord are preserved as a living testimony, and that dish of the bread of heaven, just obedience, faithfulness, and zeal for the Lord, and for His great goodness and mercy, for His love, for His fatherly care, to Him be glory and honor, worship and praise forevermore. Amen.